Hey, Long Island listeners, this is Nassau County Executive Laura Curran. Be sure to stick with your political go-to station, 103.9 LI News Radio.
Alrighty, and with that being said, it is the County Executive of Nassau, Laura Curran. We say very good morning, Madam County Exec. Good to have you once again here.
Good morning to your listeners.
It is great to have you. Let's start out with, I guess, you know, we've been telling people, if you got vaccinated at Jones Beach on the 15th, you might have to re-up again because of a temperature situation with the medicine. So that's happening at Jones Beach, correct?
That's right. That's in our county. It's a state-run vaccination site. And I know that the state is reaching out to those 81 people who may have gotten a vaccine that wasn't effective. You know, we're told there's nothing unsafe about it, but it just wasn't at the right temperature, so it's not going to work as well. So the state's going to reach out and get those people re-upped, as you say.
I think it was around 81 or so of the folks out there. So, again, folks, if you got vaccinated a week ago Monday at Jones Beach, get back out there. You probably get a phone call, I would imagine. Put that on the calendar. Now, with that being said, the levels are dropping as we speak. That's a good thing. The governor, with the announcement yesterday, you're going to have some things opening up. Good to have people that'll be back in the venues at the Coliseum. You'll be able to see some Islander games now, thank goodness. The Knicks will have people at the Garden, Barclays with the Nets tonight. So you're seeing a little bit of the lessening now. As far as the catering halls will be allowed to have some people, 150 max there. So that is a very good thing. A lot of people are waiting for this law.
Yes. Well, you mentioned catering halls. I had been advocating for catering halls to be open for months and months. So I'm really happy they're able to function again, have more than one event at a time. I took time to visit a lot of these businesses, and I saw all of the protocols that they've put in place, and it made me very confident to advocate for them. They were going to do everything they could do and can do to keep their employees safe, to keep their customers safe, to get the party started in a safe way. So, you know, I'm glad that the state now recognizes we can trust these catering hall operators, and they can get back to doing what they do so well. And I think we're going to start to see some more restrictions ease. You know, the state is starting to, you know, see these. We're all seeing the infection rates go down, and I'm really looking forward to getting things, you know, back into high gear, getting our economy going again, getting the schools reopened. All of this stuff is just so incredibly important for our residents.
Seeing a little bit of light now. I mentioned earlier regarding Johnson & Johnson, they're going to roll out the medicine at the end of March, 20 million doses or so. So there's some good signs here, no question, even with a milestone as we hit in this country of 500,000 deaths. You know, hopefully the signals coming out with these levels the way they are and the holiday surge is over that, you know what, we are definitely we're seeing some positive signs here, and that it's well needed at this point, no question. So
the infection rate continues to come down, hospitalization rates continue to come down. You know, everyone understands the common sense protocols that we need to do to get back to normal, and of course, the vaccine will be incredibly helpful. We know that we had a bit of a delay in getting some vaccine shipments in because of the weather, but we should be getting them soon, any minute. We'll make those appointments, and, you know, when it comes to our Department of Health at the Nassau County Department of Health, every single dose that we get, that we distribute, make sure that we get it in an arm. We have not had to throw away one dose. We have not had to waste one dose. And I'm really pushing the team. The team is doing a fantastic job, and we're looking to get as many people who want the vaccine and are eligible to get them vaccinated. So we can just, I joke that it's our passport back to the land of normal.
No question. You mentioned the weather. We had a rough stretch, as you mentioned, delays in getting the medicine here. Hopefully that is over, but it's been quite a couple of weeks. You know, February is never good, we know. Never good. You know, you'd like to maybe jump, usurp February, head right into March after January, but we know, you know, anything goes in February. Now, sometimes we dodge the proverbial bullet, not this one. February has been a rough month here on the island.
Yeah, it's a good thing February only has, I guess it's 29 days this year. No, that was last year. So, we only have 28 days to slog through before we get to March. But, yeah, we've had storm after storm. We've had five storms so far. In a way, it's kind of good because the previous two winters, we didn't have much, so we certainly had a lot of salt on hand. And, you know, that on top with the COVID, there was just, you know, a lot for people to contend with. But we'll get through it. We always do.
We mentioned the levels going down. We know there are variants out there. That's why we need medicine here. And the Nassau, I think, had its first individual who contracted the South African variant, correct? Being in the Glen Head area. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So Nassau County, I guess we have the notoriety of having the first documented case of the South African variant of the virus. Now, we're told by the medical experts that this could be more contagious. The interesting thing about this case is that the person was tested and tested positive a little more than 2 weeks ago, but we found out over the weekend that it was the South African variant. So, you know, there was some time that went by. So it wasn't known. It takes time for the lab that contracts with the state to sort out what variant it is. So in those 2 weeks, just the regular quarantine protocols were followed. The person wasn't hospitalized, the family quarantined, everything, you know, contact tracing happened. It all worked as it should. And then after the fact, we find out it's the South African variant. One thing that, you know, I want to prevent any freak out about this, whatever works for reducing the risk of spread for one variant works for all the variants. So whether it's, you know, wearing the mask, social distancing, all of those common sense protocols work for whatever variant it is. So that's good news. While it may be more contagious, we can make it less contagious by just using the common sense that's gotten us this far.
No question. And it's not so much in the deadlier sense, but more in the contagion type sense. Contagious,
that's right.
I should say.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
it's not known to be more harmful once you get it. It's just easier to get. That's no question about it.
Yeah. But again, you know, you mask up and you do all the stuff you're supposed to do as this medicine continues to be distributed. You know, we're going to win the war here. So that is a key to keep in mind. Laura Curran with us, County Exec, Nassau. You know, there's been some assessment stuff in the news. Where you had, I was reading, you had a split on the legislature yesterday approving a bill to ask the county voters, I guess, a referendum, whether they're in favor of an elected assessor. You were planning to reject the bill, your first veto of 2021, I do believe, and to override the veto, Republicans need a supermajority. Just to explain the audience, that is, let's see, now 13 that would be, which, by the way, is considered unlikely. So, you know, this stuff continues to kind of rear its head and everything else, assessor and assessments, property, you know, values and everything else. But it's, you know, it's all part of the agenda, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we are dealing with a broken property assessment system. It's been like this for decades, antiquated equipment that we're updating, restaffing, all that stuff. Meanwhile, I took on the challenge of doing the first revalue reassessment in about a decade. And, you know, by all accounts, by all of the experts, our values are solid, our values are good, and, you know, taking the bull by the horns, taking on the tough problems that the guys that came before were afraid to take on. And so I am proud of the work that we've done. We'll continue. We're actually doing a freeze, a pause of the assessments because of COVID. You know, the volatility in the real estate market right now is real. We're seeing home prices spike. We're seeing business, real estate, you know, be very chaotic and volatile right now. So it makes sense to pause the assessments for a year and then resume after things start to calm down a bit.
I mean, it's smart when you think about it as far as how the market is kind of dictating to everyone out there. You know what? That was put in play and nothing wrong with it. Talk to me about the police reform plan. The governor wants everything in play by April 1. And, you know, we talked to you last time about implementing a body camera program for the county police. Hopefully improving collection of some racial and ethnic data from traffic stops. We know that's been an issue in and around. Talk to me a little bit about the reform here.
Sure. So we had more than 120 meetings with various groups, community groups, stakeholder groups, advocacy groups, virtual town halls, listening sessions. And if you go on our website, nassaucountyny.gov/EO for Executive Order 203, you can see a draft, the latest draft of our report. Now we filed it with the legislature. The legislature, I'm sure, will have hearings and have more input. So this is a living document. But from all of those meetings and conversations that we had, we got some fantastic ideas. And you'll see, you know, people take the time to look at the report, itemize what the suggestions were and what we're doing to implement them, where we are in the implementation process. It's a lot of work. It was 100% worth it. My goal is to, even before George Floyd, even before this executive order, was to continue to build trust between the community and the police. And that became even more urgent after the killing of George Floyd. So we take this very seriously, with the police, working with the community to build that trust, to put those policies and procedures in place to make that happen. So, you know, now that it's with the legislature, we'll take it from there, and then it has to be approved, hopefully it'll be approved by the legislature by April 1st, and we'll send it up to the governor for a review.
No question.
You know, about increased transparency, body cameras, more diversity and recruitment. We're looking at all of those things, community relations, community-orientated policing. All of that stuff is so important to build that trust.
No question. Transparency as the key word there, without question there. And speaking of police and everything else, I was reading where negotiations are ongoing, PBA and everything else. How's that going?
Yeah. So, you know, as you know, the PBA, the membership rejected the contract that was approved by the executive board. So, you know, back to the drawing board. We'll take it from there. And then, you know, we've got two other bargaining units that we're talking to as well. So we have the detectives deal done, superior officers deal done, PBA on hold now. You know, now we have to go back to the table. And we also have the COBA, that's the Correction Officers Benevolent Association, and we have CSEA. So we're looking to get those done and, you know, bring some clarity to our employees and bring some clarity to our taxpayers as well.
I spoke about this yesterday with a town councilman out of Huntington, and it involved LIPA. But in reading a couple of weeks ago, they extended until the end of next month, right? It's deadline for settling some of the cases challenging the tax payments for two Nassau-based power plant properties. And who knows? I mean, what is the status? We know of the legislature, if they're going to sign on to the deal. I know you have put a lot of pressure on LIPA to settle these lawsuits brought by some of the impacted districts, school districts. In somewhat of a similar one, right, to the way LIPA settled last year, that being in Northport there. What's the latest there?
Well, yes. So I am looking for our two school districts in Nassau that are impacted by these LIPA, this LIPA situation, for it to be comparable to what happened in Huntington, in Northport. That was a $14.5 million settlement to the school district. I'm looking for something comparable for our two school districts that are impacted by this. And frankly, I wouldn't expect the legislature to approve any settlement until we get that for our school districts, for our two school districts, something comparable. And, you know, I just think it's fair. These are host communities. They bear the brunt of having these facilities in their community, and they need some help.
No question about it. Without delay and everything else, you know, LIPA sometimes, you know, and they can have this bullish effect. But we know they settled last year, and there's nothing wrong with putting pressure on these guys, you know, to try and get these suits settled. So we'll see what awaits there. Now, talk to me a little bit about the small businesses. We mentioned there have been some grants out there, people signing up, trying to take advantage. I think it was like $10,000, give or take. What was the latest, and what was the outcome of that?
Oh, sure. So you're referring to the restaurant recovery grant, where we are awarding grants to restaurants in Nassau County, whether it's depending on the size, $5,000 or $10,000. And it can go for anything that they need, whether it's buying heat lamps or making payroll or paying the rent, whatever it is they need. So we had the first round. It went well. And we actually have some money left over, so we've reopened it. And if you're a restaurant in Nassau, you need some help getting through to the other side of this pandemic, please go to our website, nassaucountyny.gov/restaurant recovery. It's a bit of a mouthful, but it'll take you step by step on how to apply for the grant.
So you did a great thing renaming a street in honor of the kid JoJo Wright, who succumbed to injuries in a car, a terrible story it was. The kid at a Uniondale High School who's a basketball star beyond belief. And renaming a part of Uniondale Avenue after this 15-year-old was killed in that car accident. I thought that was well done. That was a terrible story, though.
So heartbreaking. You know, I spoke to so many people who knew JoJo Wright. Only 15 years old. He's been playing varsity since seventh grade basketball, a real phenom, and a good person, a humble person. And this was the kind of kid that would grow up, you know, whether he continued with basketball or whatever he would have done in life, he would have been a phenom. He would have been amazing. And it's just so sad. You know, it's just one of those crazy things in life, a terrible accident, and now he's gone. So I thought it was really important to honor his memory, to honor his legacy, and to, you know, rename a portion of that county road after him. And, you know, kids walking to school will always see that and always remember.
No doubt. And really quite a kid. You read some of the backstory on JoJo. He will be remembered forever. I know we've been getting a lot of calls, but is everything kind of squared now, Laura, between the veterans, some of the clergy members? I guess they were overtaxed. It was a county computer glitch caused about $5.5 million in overcharges to some of those property owners there. So what was the latest there? What was the outcome?
Yeah, that's right. So there was a computer processing error that overcharged some of our taxpayers, veterans and clergy. So as soon as we found out about it, we jumped right on it. We fixed the problem. We contacted each and every one of those taxpayers, and we're going to make it right. So, you know, I'm not afraid of admitting when something goes wrong. You have to own it and correct it and let people know exactly what it is that you're doing. It just shows that the system does work.
No question about it. And hopefully the system will work regarding the vaccine rollout. You've had a number of sites pop up, some of the worship centers, churches, in addition, you know, to Jones Beach. Right now, how many sites? And I know one is opening today, if I read correctly, in Valley Stream. You know, as the medicine is distributed, you got a lot of these sites popping in play right now. Nassau County is starting to get a lot of sites now.
Yeah, Nassau County, our Department of Health, so the hospital runs some. It's starting to come to the pharmacies now. We operate a vaccine distribution at Nassau Community College, at Yes We Can Community Center in Westbury. We just partnered with LIU, with the nursing school there, a couple of weeks ago, so that's up and running. And then we're going to be partnering with Northwell to bring it to more places around the county. We're also going to be partnering with our community clinics. They're called FQHCs, Federally Qualified Health Centers. They were great partners when we were doing testing, and now they're going to be great partners as we do vaccination. So working with our partners and making sure that every single dose we get in gets into an arm, not one dose wasted. So while there may have been that issue in Jones Beach, that's a state-run facility. In our county-run facilities, we are not wasting one dose.
That is a good thing, and again, as you get more of the vaccine out there, you're going to have hopefully a lot more of the pop-ups in play across Long Island. I know there have been a rise in attacks across the state, somewhat alarming regarding Asian Americans in Nassau, though. There have been no reports of hate crimes, I do believe, but it's rather alarming from around the state regarding it. All of a sudden, Asian Americans, what's the latest there?
You know, it is alarming. We have not had any reported incidents like that here in Nassau. Of course, we will stay vigilant, but it's just important to get the message. You know, I feel like our world is getting more and more fractured, and, you know, an unfortunate result of that is hatred about people that you don't even know, people that you've never spoken to. So we have laws. We're going to make sure that if there are people who are making threats or committing crimes, that we're going to hold them accountable. And we've got a community. We've got a county that is diverse. It's a beautiful thing. It makes it better and more interesting for all of us. And we embrace diversity. And we will not tolerate any kind of crime or any kind of threat being made against people for any reason.
Yeah, no question. And we have given out phone numbers, Crime Stoppers in Nassau, folks. Anyone who might be a victim of this, call the police department, the county hotline, the TIPS hotline, 1-800-244-TIPS. And it comes as the NYPD urging anyone who may have been a victim in anti-Asian hate crime to come forward and report it. Very important stuff. Two more quick ones for you. I read that the legislature is passing a local law to help some of the struggling folks out there, business owners. And we're talking about the tax lien sale from this month to sometime. That'll be in early May, correct? So it applies to property owners who haven't paid their general and or school tax bills. So hopefully, you know, you're going to provide a little more breathing room for those who have struggled and those who have lost jobs. I mean, it's important stuff right now.
It's very important. I commend the legislature for passing this. People need help right now. This is an unusual time, and we have to take these measures in an unusual time to help people recover, to get some kind of clarity and some kind of sanity back into their lives. So I think this is good news.
No question. And, you know, I always like to end on a good note with the beloved New York Islanders that you and I share with this team. And they won again. They bounced back after a tough start, but they're tied for second right now. And 9 of the next 10 are home. And we're going to have some fans in that building. That's a good sign, huh?
Oh, from your lips to God's ears. I hope we do. They're playing really well. It's an interesting team. You know, I'm watching the Rangers. I'm not a Rangers fan, but I'm interested in this team because it's a lot of young guys. That probably sounds like I'm saying sacrilege right now. Young guys, when they gel really well. But our team has a special kind of, the Islanders I'm talking about, has a special kind of resilience. And you're right. They do bounce back. They take their knocks, but then they come roaring back. And, you know, it's unpredictable, and it makes for really, really exciting hockey.
Good things happening. You got a 56-game truncated season. So, you know, they're doing well. They really are. They're doing well after 18 games. Always a pleasure, Laura Curran, County Executive, Nassau County. We look forward to talking with you, my dear, as we get into March. Thanks so much. Yep.
Thanks.